Grace, our praise warriors, just everybody. We thank God for you, our worship leader. I'm Dr. Joseph Cooper. All who serve so faithfully, all of the musicians and people that are serving all throughout the assembly today. Thank you so much for your faithfulness. It is good to see each and every one of you, and we want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the wonderful, blessed, anointed mothers that we have. We appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. We appreciate you. That was a little weak, but that's all right. I mean, maybe you're tired, but I know you appreciate your mama. Anybody appreciate your mama? There you go. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you all so much for giving us life, for nurturing us, for teaching us, providing for us, nursing us, taking care of us when we were sick and feeling bad and had our little boo-boos, they used to call them, and just being there and releasing revelation and destiny into us. Many have gone on to be with the Lord, and yet their presence is still felt and their legacy lives on. Amen. So we honor and we celebrate and we acknowledge every mother. Amen. Biological mothers, spiritual mothers, surrogate mothers, in every capacity that you've blessed and poured into and provided for some young person or some older person, we honor you and we thank God for you in Jesus' name. And continue to be a light. Continue to be a source of the love of God. And continue to pour out to others as God continues to refresh and fill you over and over again in Jesus' name. Well, it's good to see you, as I said, and I'm not going to be very long. It's good to see Reverend Aku with us, Emmanuel. Aku, God bless you, sir. Please stand. It is so good to see you. Welcome home, sir. Amen. Amen. And I don't know how long he's going to be with us on this trip. Are you here for a little while? Okay, so he'll be here for a while. So prayerfully, as he's ready, he'll just come at some point and share with us some of the things that's going on. They've been under great attack and intense pressure and in their homeland in Cameroon. And he'll come and share some things with you at a later time while he's here. And even if he's inclined to share the word again, we were so blessed the last time he was here and blessed us. But we're praying for you all. We're praying for the country and we're praying for you and your family. And we want to continue to do that. So we're glad to see you. God has kept you and he's faithful, and we praise God for you. God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. And again, it's good to see all of you. Well, as I said, I'm not going to be very long because I think Dr. Cooper preached my message this morning. So I'm not going to re-preach it. Praise God. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to share just a couple of things and then we'll be done. Father, we bless you this morning. We honor you. We love you. We give you praise. You are so good to us. And even now, you keep on giving. You keep on pouring out your love and your blessing, your favor upon us. And by faith, we keep receiving. So even now, by faith, we receive the word of life. We know it's going to so affect us and impact us that we will never be the same if we become hearers and by faith doers. So we declare ourselves in faith good ground. Deposit your incorruptible, indestructible seed of life into us today and bring forth a harvest that honors you and that remains. We thank you for counting us worthy today to have such a precious word in your presence. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death and destruction. For my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts, saith the Lord. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your ways and thoughts, saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, as we come today to celebrate God and His goodness, and we acknowledge the mothers among us, those that have already gone to be on with the Lord, those that are still here, those that may not be in this place or even in this city or this state, but they're still our mothers, we want to hear what God is saying to us, what He's releasing to His people today. Thank you, sir. We started with those scriptures because the reality is many times things that are important to God are not always as important to us. And on the other hand, there are some things that we make extremely, extremely important that may be of lesser importance to God. And when that happens, we find ourselves really at odds and out of agreement with God, because we just heard from Isaiah chapter 55 that God's ways and thoughts are so much higher than man's ways and thoughts. That what's important for us is to make sure that we are ever coming up to get an agreement with God. We hear it all the time. I say it all the time, but it's necessary to repeat it. If we're going to live victoriously, successfully, we must learn to get an agreement with God. And the way we do that is by searching the scriptures, studying God's word, and then putting trust and confidence in that word. And what will happen, we will be elevated in every area of life. Our thinking will change. As our thinking changes to agree more with God, our speaking will change. As our speech changes, our ways of doing things will change. And when we get an agreement with God, we will have victory upon victory, success upon success, personal, family, financially, in every respect of life. But it starts with recognizing God's authority, accepting what He says, and then coming up to agree with it in our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. Okay? So, very important. There are things that if we dismiss them, we do it to our own peril. But if we will embrace those truths, again, they will bless us and keep us, because it is the word and the will of God. I'll give you an example from the old covenant. You've heard it before, but it's still very appropriate. You might remember a time when the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, was left in a field after it had been taken in battle, and everywhere they took it, the people there were just, they got boils and hemorrhoids and all kinds of things because they had taken this Ark of the Covenant, which represented to the children of Israel the very presence of God among His people. And when they couldn't deal with it anymore, the Philistines, I think, they took it and they left it in a field. Well, David found out where it was, and he decided to go and get it. And he got this group together, and they built a brand new cart to put it on, and they went and picked it up in the field, put it on the cart, and they're dancing and singing, praising, going back to the city of David. The Bible says that the cart shook when the cart shook, one by the name of Uzzah tried to steady it. And when he tried to steady the cart, he was immediately killed. And of course, once that happened, David and the rest of the people that were in the procession, they became afraid and upset. And so they left the cart, carried it to the house of one by the name of Obed-Edom. And David went on back, and they're distressed and they're saddened that here this good thing that we intended to do ended up causing a breach among us. And that's what Uzzah means. It caused a breach among us. Well, David began to inquire, why did this happen? I had the right motives. I had good intentions. I wanted to bring God's presence to my home, to the city of David. What happened? And God revealed to him that even though his motives and his intentions were good, his process was wrong. Because he did not do things, the scripture says, after the due order. He had the right intentions, but he went about it the wrong way. And brothers and sisters, how many of us would admit that sometimes we have the best of intentions, but it doesn't always work out? The reasons those good intentions may not always work out is because we may be going about it the wrong way. Remember, God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So with the best of intentions, with the best of motives, if we don't find out how God wants us to do something, it will end up often in failure. We can cause more harm than good. We can get frustrated because we're not seeing victory and success. So God wants his people to realize that if you will trust me and do things my way, I will bless you and give you success. But if you continue to assert your own way, even though your intentions and your motives might be good, you will often find out that you will fail. Listen, this is very important for where we're going. God said in Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5, he gave commandments to Moses to give to his people. You remember there were 10 of them along with the host, some 600 or more statutes and instructions and things that God gave them. But the 10 commandments he put on stone. Now, I'm not saying to you to go out and try to follow all of the 10 commandments. If we are led by the Holy Spirit, we will fulfill all of them. The point is, he gave those commandments because he wanted his people to understand his heart as it related to mankind. We've talked about this before, so we'll just touch on it quickly. Of those 10, the first 4 deal with man's relationship and responsibility to God. You can go and read them. The first 4, how man is to respect and relate to me, God. The next 6 deal with how man is to relate to man, to mankind, how we are to deal and interact one with another. Jesus picked it up this way. We've said it many times, but it bears repeating. He was asked which of the commandments were the greatest, you know, which ones were the heaviest, the weightiest, which ones carried the most importance, and then which ones were lesser in terms of importance. And he said to them, you're going to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these 2 hinge or hang all of the other commandments. It's about relating to God. And it's about relating to man. Would you accept that? I encourage you to go back and read it again for yourselves. And if you're not quite sure, the Holy Spirit will help you with it. So when we journey through this life, brothers and sisters, it's all about how we deal, how we relate to God and with mankind. Everything else is of lesser importance. What kind of house you live in, what size house, what kind of car you drive, or if you take the subway, whether you do this or you wear this or you like this, all of that stuff, how much money you make, it has its place, but it's not the most important thing. How am I going to approach God? And how am I going to deal with my fellow man while I journey through this life? God is about souls. His whole purpose for sending Jesus was about souls. God sent him that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that right? He's concerned about souls. And all this other stuff, creature comforts and stuff, it's just that. The most important thing is souls. So when you go through the first four, this is how you're going to relate to God. You get to the fifth one, and it talks about this statement. Honor your father and your mother. Now, last year at Mother's Day, we talked about the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman, and we touched on a little bit of this, but we're revisiting it because it's very important. The first commandment that deals with mankind gives instructions, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, with the earth which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor. If God chose that to be the first thing he broached, the first subject he broached, the first thing he dealt with when he went to relationship with man, you think it's important? It's important to God. We have to decide if it's going to be important to us. Because again, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There is a way that seems right to us, but it could lead to death and destruction. What's most important is what God says is important. And the very first commandment that God gives in relation to dealing with mankind is, I'm commanding you to honor father and mother. So today we're talking about honoring your mother. Dr. Cooper told us it's to highly esteem, to respect, to regard, to hold in awe, and to revere. Not to the degree of God, but to hold in such high esteem and regard and respect. Folks, all around this world, there are cultures that understand as best they are able this principle and concept of honor. I'm going to ask my brothers from Cameroon and from Africa just this question. Usually when I greet them or when they greet me or I've seen them greet people, they'll come to you and they'll do something similar to this, where they extend one hand and they either cup the other hand. Would one of you care to kind of at least speak to that quickly? It doesn't matter who, any one of you, just briefly. Anybody? Just quickly, what does it mean in your culture? It's honor and respect, right? Yes, and so that encapsulates, it's honor and respect. So they'll extend the hand and cup the wrist or something to that extent. And I noticed them doing it. And even though they're from Cameroon and Io, you're from Nigeria, they still do the same or similar thing, right? It's an act of honor and an act of respect. You know, in a lot of your Asian cultures, you'll notice they bow. They do a lot of bowing to their elders. They bow to their parents, to their grandparents, to the elders. It's a sign of respect, a sign of honor, a sign of deference to do that. You know, there are some places you see folks trying to figure out who can bow the lowest because they figure that's a sign of even greater deference and humility and so forth. But there's a purpose behind it. They're taught in the culture to exhibit that honor, that respect, you know, the aged, the elders among them. Because, again, of the sacrifices that they've made, because they pave the way, because they provide for the children, because they are the ones that establish the culture, establish a people, the family. It's important. It's important. And you'll find all across the world people understanding as best they can the principle of giving that honor and respect through those gestures. We grew up, folks, in times where we showed honor and respect. We couldn't talk back to our elders. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't dare do it. Somebody said, you better not do it. And if you did it once, you wouldn't do it again. Because you were subject to get hit with the closest thing to their hand. It could be a stick. It could be a rolling pin. It could be anything they could grab. They're subject to whack you with it. Amen. Because they insisted on that respect. We were taught we wouldn't dare think of walking in a door before an elder. And they're standing at the door and we're going to push by them and run. Are you crazy? It was a sign of respect. Wouldn't dare dream of that. Run by them. Just bump them out the way. We wouldn't dare sit and an elder into the room and you wouldn't stand. Or sit and the elder person is standing and you wouldn't give them your seat. We wouldn't, young men, we wouldn't dare sit and have a woman standing. You'd get up and give up your seat. Now they look around, ignore you like... You should have got here earlier. But those little things that we take for granted, they're important to God. And they're important to God for a reason. God has established order in the earth. And for that order, he puts people in places of authority that become accountable to him because they have a great responsibility. God holds parents responsible for the nurture, the care of his seed, his children in the earth. And if he's going to hold them accountable, he expects them to be respected. If they're going to be accountable to God, he requires that they be respected so that they can perform the tasks, the assignments, the jobs that God has given them. And in every area of authority, there is an area of submission. We submit to God and then we carry out our assignments and others submit to us depending on the role that we have in the kingdom of God. So honor is important to God. Respecting father and mother is important to God. I'll even go to this. The way we honor those that God says honor reflect on our honor to him. Right. Because we don't see God. God is the invisible God. But he puts people in place with his authority to carry out his will. So if I honor my father, I honor my mother, I'm honoring God because he's the one who has established this. Well, I love God. I love God. I love God. I'm glad you do it. Somebody said, show it then. Notice Jesus said these words, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, here's the thing about it. Jesus was going to die soon. And everybody that would accept him would become a part of his family. But that's not what he's saying. You don't have to love God to be saved. In fact, you can't love God apart from being saved because you don't know him. When you get saved, you don't know God. You may know some things that your parents shared about him, but you don't know him intimately, personally for yourself. So I get saved by faith. I trust his love for me. Want to say that again. When I got saved, I trusted his love for me. Somebody told me that God loved me. Somebody told me that Jesus loved me enough to die for me. Somebody told me that this love took him all the way to the cross and he gave his life and shed his blood for me. And I accepted that by faith. It wasn't my love. It was his love. So I got saved. I didn't love God when I got saved. I accepted that he loved me. And the truth be told, you didn't love him either. You accepted that he loved you. Now you grew to love him as you learned more of him. We grow to love him as we understand more of what he's done for me. As I understand just how much he loves me, that he would die for me, that he would provide for me, that he protects me, that he opens doors for me, that he favors me, that he blesses me, that his protection is around me everywhere I go, that he provides everything that I need, and he's made me an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, that one day I'm going to reign with Jesus as a king and a priest. All of these things causes my love for him to grow. So Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I can be saved and not love him. But if I say I love him, he says, okay, do what I say. If you claim you love me, do what I say. Folks, it's important. It's important to God. We don't want to mistake this thing. I've seen too many people at home going services come around the casket and won't try to climb in the casket and falling all out, about to fall out in grief and stuff, like they want to climb in the casket with the remains and they falling all out. And I understand even in the scriptures there were wailing people that wailed, you know, sometimes professional people that got paid to go and wail and lament and cry and put on a show. And those of you who've watched any of the stuff down in New Orleans, you know, they make a big band, big parade, and everything's a show, and it's all fun. All that, I understand that. But if we really love the person, we would show them the honor and the respect that they deserve while they are living. Don't fight me, cuss at me, abuse me, dishonor me, disrespect me. Don't follow my instructions and then walk around telling me how much you love me or telling somebody else how much I love my mama and how much I love my daddy. If you love them, do what they say do. If you love them, respect them. If you love them, honor them. If you love them, show them deference. If you love them, submit to their authority. That's how we demonstrate our love. That's how we demonstrate the love. With your lips, you honor me. That's the scripture. Right, with your lips, you honor me, but your heart is far from me. That's not acceptable to God. Amen. That's not acceptable to God. God sees right through that. My intentions are good. But my process ain't right. If I'm going to honor God, I've got to honor those that God has put in place. Now, folks, this, you know, some things can go overboard. Like anything else, something that God has established can be perverted. It can be twisted. It can be contaminated. And you see it sometimes, too. You go into churches or you go into some place, and it's just overboard. I mean, it's just over the top. I mean, some stuff is just, you know. I mean, well, anyway, me. Let me speak for me. I've gone into places and I've seen some stuff and I've said, okay, that ain't. I mean, that's over the top, y'all. That's over the top. The intentions are good. We want to show honor to the man of God. We want to show honor to the woman of God. We want, and I'm all for that because God says do it. But some stuff, y'all know some stuff ain't right. Oh, okay, I'll leave that one alone. I don't want to offend nobody, but y'all know some of that stuff is just over the top. I mean, that's almost idolatry. And we have to be careful. But the Holy Spirit will teach us how to do it right. How to do it respectfully, how to do it from the heart, how to do it in a way that honors God, that esteems the person that or the people that he's put in place and still maintains the integrity of who God has called us to be as a people. But we got to get this, folks. It's important to God. How you treat your mother, how you respect your mother, how you honor your mother. And Jesus says that this, you know, this is how you're going to really know those that are really my disciples. This is how you're going to really know. This is how you're really going to show that you are with me. So I want to encourage us today, young people, old people, because it doesn't matter how old you get. In fact, we ought to honor and respect one another. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. You know, everything you do, he says, give it. And it takes nothing away from us to give someone else his or her due. In fact, it shows a security in who you are. If I know who I am, I can honor you, I can lift you up, I can promote you. In fact, the Bible says, esteem others more highly than yourself. I can push you to the front, I can put you up front where you belong, because it takes nothing away from me. Folks, in this place, they are pastors, they are prophets, they are teachers, they are ministers listening to me today, who in their own right, God uses and God, and they're submitting to what God is saying through me today. But it takes nothing away from them to sit and listen and submit. Because God's going to honor that, and as they go, and others are going to listen and submit to their authority because they understand how to submit to authority. So, as we prepare to close today, there's a scripture that says it's the small foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, destroy the vine. Because they can get low and really deal with it. And it doesn't matter, folks, how massive a vine or vines grow. You know, you've seen vines going up trees. You've seen vines going up buildings, up structures. And they can be massive. But if you get down at the bottom and cut them, it's not going to be long before they're going to dry up and die. And those strong vines that look so imposing, you can start pulling them off the side of anything once you cut them at the bottom. That's where those little foxes get down. They get down there where folks ain't paying no attention. Oh, no, this just looks so beautiful. And the flowers are, and they get down here and they start chewing away and gnawing away at stuff. And pretty soon you look, what happened to my beautiful thing? The foxes have destroyed it. Or some pest or some insect has destroyed it. Don't let these things that we're not willing to hear God and we won't change destroy our lives because we will not do it the way God says do it. Everybody has opinions. But the reality is my opinion really doesn't mean much as it relates to the Word of God. Other than I want my opinion to get in line with what God is saying so that now it has some weight because it's established on the Word. It's established on the Word. God wants agreement. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? In earth, even as it's done in heaven. I've got to get an agreement with heaven for God's will to be done in the earth. Honor, respect, esteem, highly regard your mother. Not with lip service, but through submission, through obedience, through listening, through giving what they say weight in your life. You've heard this before. You're making decisions. You've got some decisions to make and you really want some counsel. I encourage you, ask God, your Heavenly Father, for guidance and direction. He'll give it. Seek out godly counsel. God, not just any counsel, godly counsel. Those that you know are walking with God and submitting to the Word as best they know how. Talk to your father or to your mother and ask them for some wisdom of their age and experience that they can offer. And give these things the weight in our lives that they demand. I'll finally wrap up with this. One of the sons of David, was it Absalom or which son of David, was being considered to take over, thank you, among the people. And he went to the elders and they gave him instructions. They said, if you will do this, like your father did, if you'll be kind, if you will treat the people with kindness and whatever, they will serve you. They will submit to you. They will serve you. Okay? After that, then he goes and gets with his friends, his peers, people of his age, and he talks to them. And they said, no, you need to be hard. You need to be harsh. You need to demand that they submit to you and obey you and follow you. And whose advice did he take? He took the young dudes. He took their advice. And of course, you read the rest of the story, how he failed miserably. The people rebelled against that leadership. Folks, there is wisdom in sound counsel. You can't ask your friends, young people, everything. Most of them have less experience than you. Many of them, they don't know nothing. You need to go to somebody that's established, somebody that's trusted, somebody, your parents, adults, your pastor, your deacons, you need to go to somebody that can say, well, what does God say about this? What is the will of God in this situation? Last point. Oftentimes we get there after we've been through everywhere else. After I've gone to my friends. After I've tried it myself. And I've made a mess of things. Then I say, well, maybe I need to talk to my mama. Or maybe I need to talk to my, or maybe I need to call my deacon. Or maybe I need to ask the pastor. Why wait? Or maybe I need to seek God. Why wait until we've gone through all this other stuff, all this hurt, all this disappointment, all this failure, all these mistakes, and then realize maybe I need to pray. No, we should do that first. We should pray first. We should open the Bible first. God, give me revelation. What should I do, God? And if we will submit to Him and listen to Him, well, I'm still not clear, God. Well, let me go to my mama. To my daddy. Let me call the preacher. or the first lady, the prophetess, or let me check with my deacons, or somebody we respect in the church, maybe they can help me out. Don't wait. Life, it's too important. The enemy is too active in his assignment for us to keep making mistakes. Some mistakes you can recover from. But unfortunately for some people, some mistakes, there is no recovery. That one mistake was catastrophic. That one mistake was fatal. That one mistake cost them everything. So let's start now. Seek God first. Give honor and respect and deference and reverence and obedience to your parents. And it can start with repentance. So before we give an invitation today, we're going to lead a prayer of repentance for any of us who know that we've mistreated, we've been disrespectful to our parents. We've been disrespectful to mama. This is a good time for a cleansing. This is a good time to get back on the right track. This is a good time to start afresh. This is a good time to change directions and make a new choice. I'm going to do this thing God's way. Okay. Just before the prayer and then the invitation, questions or comments with regards to the message this morning. I see you.